A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you, you see, there were people out against the truth trying to upset them, and just as we have today. Always have been, ever since it began in the very beginning of the gospel. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, that is a verse that I think we sort of need to get the... Someone sent me this Bible. Look at the size of that. That is the Revised Standard Translation. Let me open that. I had a lot of pictures. I had to tear a lot of them out of here. I think you'll find it says mutilate here. Verse 12, chapter 5. See, but if I, brethren, still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you, the ones that are trying to mislead them, would mutilate themselves. Now that is another translation. That's chapter 5 and verse 12. Now let me just look at that in the interlinear here for a minute. Some people have been inclined to make a great deal of that word mutilate. And I've come to the conclusion that Paul didn't mean anything of the kind, any special meaning at all, except that, in other words, in circumcising, after you're full grown, there would be like a certain mutilating. Verse 12. Now, here it is, the Greek words, which I don't understand, but if they give a literal transliteration underneath, I would that indeed the ones unsettling you will or might cut themselves off. That he gives it one word for will, he has might, and cut themselves off, all of those words under that one Greek word. Well, I tell you, will you look into Strong's Concordance and see the word that is given, but whatever Greek text they're using in this, I haven't used this book much yet, and I don't remember just which Greek text is used. It's a Meso Greek text, so I don't know anything about how good that text is. Anyway, circumcision was intended to be done on the eighth day of the birth of a boy baby. Now, apparently, it does not hurt the baby so much at that age. And I don't know whether the baby suffers or not. I had my two sons circumcised. I've always recommended it, but as a health measure, but not as a religious ritual, of course, a ceremony of any kind. Paul is here talking about ritualism and ceremony. And from that point of view, it means nothing. It has nothing to do with your salvation in Christ. In other words, it's just something that has nothing to do with your religion, you might say. So while some of them have attached a certain importance to that, the King James thought it meant they were cut off from the church. Well, now, he means one of two things. Either that they would be cut off from the church, or that they would cut off more than they realize and mutilate themselves. So you have to use your own judgment as to what is meant. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion, to the flesh. Now, these rituals were hard to do. It was hard work. It was a burden to have to do all those things every day. And he's mentioning that. Just like sin was a hard thing, and we're freed from sin, we're also freed from having to, in other words, do penance and punish your own self for your sins, because Christ has suffered that punishment for you and took your sins. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's just a summary of all of the last six of the Ten Commandments, the love toward neighbor. But if you bite and devour one another, as the ones that were opposing Paul and were trying to upset these people were doing. And what about the ones that have been taken out of the church by those dissidents that have been put out or gone out? I have had word from ministers here and there over the country. They all say the same thing. They lost a few members here and a few there. Some lost none. But those who did may have lost one or two, and in some cases they lost where they had up to 400, 500, 600 attending, they may have lost 30 or 40 or 50 members. But they say, we have peace now. The troublemakers are gone. They were causing trouble. And now, all they've done, they've removed the rotten lemons from the crates, and we've got some good lemons left here. For by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, which these troublemakers were doing, and which troublemakers in our day have been doing too, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. And you see, he'd been talking about rituals of physical work, that were physical. Now he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. That is, not under a ritual. That's the only law he's been talking about in Galatians so far. You don't have to obey that. Now, there's another way of translating that if someone wants to argue about it. Under the law, say the spiritual law. The law has a penalty, and that's the death. And if you break the law, you come under its penalty, and the law is over you and has a claim on your life. But if you are freed from Christ, you're not under the law. You're obeying the law and keeping it. But not being under the law doesn't mean you don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. Nowhere is that being taught in the writings of Paul or in the writings of the Bible. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Oh, I wish I still had this open. I'd like to read these. No, what I meant was the Moffat translation. No, I don't think the Revised Standard makes this any better. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means license to disobey and permission to disobey. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty plain. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's been talking about the works of the flesh, works of the law. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Vain glory, that is, trying to exalt yourself above others. Now, chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, have love and go and try to restore them, and don't condemn him. Don't be just against everybody all the time. Now, I've tried to do that with some men, and you can't do it. You can't do it. If they're angry, if they already are filled with bitterness and resentment, and they're hooked on it, they'll come back at you, they'll misuse anything you say, they will twist it around and use it against you. Keep talking about men that are just overtaken in the fault and don't realize it, and maybe you can help them out. But one in wrong spirit, a wrong attitude, you can't help. And the quicker you let alone, let him alone, let him go. You can't save him. Don't try to save the man who's in a rotten, wrong attitude and a wrong spirit. Because you can't do it until he gets that spirit out of him. So when Paul says here, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, that's if you can. If he's in a wrong attitude, you go to him in a spirit of meekness and he'll only slam it right back in your face. You can only do that if he is in a right attitude himself. So that's a good thing to remember. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. These were the law of Christ, or the law of God. Now, does Christ have one law and God another? Some people say, well, that's the law of Christ, I'll do that, but I don't want that law of God. So Christ has a law that's different from the law of God, and they're against one another. Is that true? Never. Never. The law of Christ and the law of God are one and the same thing, because Christ and God believe one and the same thing. They're of one mind. Together. For if a man think himself to be something, and once in a while I have to deal with a man who does think of himself to be something and thinks he's above everybody else and wants the chief seat, then he is nothing. He deceiveth himself. But when he's in a wrong attitude, you can't make him see that. He never will see it. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. And there is one man you can't convince. That's a man who is unwilling to be convinced. But let every man prove his own work. And that's what I'm having to do with those I can't reach that are in a wrong attitude. They have to prove their own work. If they don't prove it in their work, out they have to go. That's all. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I don't know, let's read that in the Revised Standard. That's a little hard to understand. It just seems to me as a little ambiguous and doesn't make an awful lot of sense. Now, let's see, that was, let's go back here. Say verse 4 in the Revised Standard. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each man will have to bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For And he who soweth to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who soweth to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. How often I've quoted that. Don't grow weary with well-doing. A lot of people do. They just get tired of doing well, and they want to rest and give up and quit and not go on any farther. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I tell you, we're going to reap a great reward a little bit later.
Let me tell you something I'm coming to believe. I'm coming to believe that we have never understood at all about the Laodicean church. We keep wondering, where is the Laodicean church? Well, it isn't here yet. There isn't any such church, not yet. Brethren, look. Put a lot of things together. Put the seventh chapter of Revelation together with some things you find in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Now, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, there's a war in heaven. Satan loses that battle. Michael and his angels conquer Satan and his demons. Satan and his demons are cast back down to the earth. They will have gone up. And I say that probably means again, because I believe that what you read back in Isaiah 14 is speaking of a time before the creation of Adam. Well, then, what you read in the 12th chapter, and is it verse 7 or 9 of Revelation, must be referring to about our time now, a war in heaven between Michael and Satan, the former Lucifer. Now, Lucifer is cast down, and he persecutes the church. Then the next thing that happens, the devil is so full of wrath. And it's the devil's wrath that brings on the great tribulation. And then the church are given the two wings of a great eagle, and she will fly to a place of protection and will not have to suffer through the great tribulation. Now, after that, Satan goes and persecutes the remnant of the church. What's the remnant? The remnant is the last. There are seven different stages of the church pictured in the second and third chapters of Revelation. And the last one is Laodicea. And that's after the great tribulation, and Satan goes to persecute that one, and they still, though, are keeping the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God and the faith and testimony of Jesus. All right. Now go to the seventh chapter. We come to the time right at the end of the great tribulation. And the time has come for the day of the Lord, and God to send his plague. And an angel goes forth and says, wait, hold up. Hold back these plagues a little bit until we've sealed God's servants in their forehead. And then you find sealed the 144,000 and another great innumerable multitude of all nations that no man can number. It's so great. In other words, after the great tribulation, and after they have seen the frightful signs in the sky, in the sun, the moon, and the stars, people are running and crying until the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face they've seen. They have seen the face of God in heaven. And I tell you, people are frightened to death. Who are these great innumerable multitude? Who are the 144,000? They're not the Seventh-day Adventists used to say when they got 144,000, they'd be the 144,000. Well, of course, they got about three or four times that now. So now they have changed their doctrine. So they're not the 144,000. Well, now we're not up to 144,000 members yet, but we're on our way. And we are at least at the halfway marker, Father. Well, I don't think we better start saying anything of the kind like the Adventists did. We are the church will be taken to a place of perfection where we will be fed and nourished. Now how, I don't know. If we were, what we picture is we're all in one place. We're all in Pasadena. God picks us up and takes us all to some other place on earth. But look, the church is all over. The church is over in the Philippines. The church is part of it, individual member, but no organized church in Japan. The church is down in Malaysia. The church is in Singapore. The church is in South Africa. The church is in Australia, and the church is in New Zealand. The church is in the islands of the Pacific. The church is in Canada and the United States. The church is in England. The church is all over Europe. The church is in different places all over Africa. The church is up in Scandinavia. Well, where are we going to go? Where are you going to pick us all up in a group? Brethren, it's time for us to begin to think a little about that. Because definitely the Bible says we are to be given the two wings of a great eagle to go into the wilderness, into our place. But the one that Satan is real, we're going to be protected from Satan. Now, Satan has never struck at the church as a whole. The church as a whole has never been persecuted until last year when the state of California hit us with that lawsuit. That was against the church as a whole. We've had persecutions against individuals, and I've been persecuted. And the leadership of the church has been persecuted, but the church as a whole has not. Until when? So we're very close to the time of being taken to the place of safety. Now then, out comes after we have gone out of the Great Tribulation, and they have been in the Great Tribulation, the 144,000 and this other great innumerable multitude. Who are these? They are they that came out of the Great Tribulation and have washed their robes and been made white. The Laodicean church are those who are going to come. They're going to find someone is going to lead them. And the church will not rise up and will not be actually formed until after we've gone into a place of protection. And after our work is finished and our time is over. It's not going to be contemporaneous with us. It will come after us. Now, I've never said that before. We have never had this straight before. We have never understood it. And I've never come out with a definite doctrine on it before because we have never understood it before. But God is revealing it to me now. Now, take what I've printed some 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago now. I believe it was in the Worldwide News or in the Good News. I had the 1260, the 1290, and the 1335 days of Daniel 12. Put some of those things together. Put a lot of these things together. Into the Great Tribulation. And all of these prophecies are all beginning to come in and fit into a certain picture right now. We have never had them straightened out before. I've never claimed I've got everything straightened out yet. But God has revealed truth to me and is still revealing truth to me. And it's about time that a lot of us begin to wake up and realize that. Because if it's truth, you better get in on it. Well, that's when our reward. Look, a lot of the people that will be reached of that innumerable multitude will be people that have heard the truth that has gone out from us. And they will have heard it, and they will be the great harvest. And I have said that before. That I have said. That it'll be after our work is gone, after we're through, the great harvest of our work will come. And we're not going to be here to see it reaped. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Maybe Paul is getting a little bit blind too, and his eyes are a little dim, they had to use large letters. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that would compel you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who receive circumcision do not themselves keep the law. Now he's talking about keeping the spiritual law, I think, and maybe he's talking about the ritual law. But I guess he's still talking about keeping the ritual law there. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But far be it from me to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. In other words, it's not a matter of your salvation or Christianity, it's a matter of physical health only. Just the same, is it right or wrong that I eat strawberries or something else? That's not a religious thing, but a new creation. And circumcision counts for anything, or uncircumcision, but we become a new creation in Christ. Peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule, upon the Israel of God. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. With their spirit. Now that's their own spirit, not the spirit of God. So you see, the Bible does mention a number of places of the spirit that is in man. And that's the place where he mentions it. Well, that completes now the book of Galatians. And I hope we draw out some things that will be not only helpful to you here, but also in the churches that will get this in their Bible studies later on. And I think we're gradually coming to see a little more of the development of the things, of the events that are coming, like as to the event of when will be the Laodicean church, and so on. People have said, is Garner Shedd Armstrong starting the Laodicean church? I said, no. It'll be, for one thing, a church of God, and God does not start a church based and started on bitterness and on resentment, and the church that is trying to get its members by taking them away and stealing them from someone else. But it happens that it's only done the Church of God good by taking only the embittered, well, not altogether only, but most of those that went were troublemakers. But I will tell you this, it's good to, if you don't already know it, to mention that there were some who were honest people and just deceived, and who left the church at the time about 2 years ago, or a little more, and who now have come to see the truth, and they're coming back into God's church again. Now, they're coming back. The ones who are troublemakers and who only want to fight and disturb and cause trouble, we don't want back. We love them, but I'd rather love them at a distance. And so that's that. So, with that, I will dismiss the service.